You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, April 3rd, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're not listening on the radio, if you're catching us as a podcast or you're listening on the app or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, we still appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. What can you do when spring is a little late to arrive? Well, it's a slow day in today's history lesson, which normally dictates, you know, what our bumper music will be for the rest of the broadcast. And unless you want to hear Tony Orlando all morning long, and Greg and I took a vote, and we do not. So Greg and I have a special sneak preview of coming attractions because we want spring and summer weather to get here. So don't say you weren't warned. In fact, you're going to like it. Greg's now giving one big thumb up. There's the other thumb, two thumbs up. We're going to check in with Mr. Bach in just a moment because he started a new adventure in the wee smalls as the rest of us were sleeping. But coming up on the program this morning, well, America, congratulations. We're at war. It's a trade war, a global trade war. The President of the United States has announced sweeping new insanely high tariffs on just about every country, friend or foe, thinking that that will somehow magically bring back factory jobs to a country that's already suffering from a labor shortage, even as we crack down on immigration. What could possibly go wrong with that? We'll also talk to Joe Zepecki a bit more about the election results from this week. The Wisconsin Supreme Court election, most of all, of course. That's also a topic in our second hour. We'll talk to Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Action of Wisconsin. Yes, it's good news that Susan Crawford won. That's going to almost assuredly help defend women's health care rights in the state. But it's not like the extremists are going to go away or stop trying. So we'll ask Tanya what will be the next steps in the process of making sure that women can reclaim control over their own health care. We'll talk to State Senator Mark Spreitzer in our Thursday legislative report. He's also a member of the legislature's LGBTQ caucus. And again, you've got extremists who are busy rather than trying to actually create jobs or provide tax relief or shore up essential services. They're passing bills to bully trans kids and adults. And so, again, it's not very productive, but Senator Spreitzer will give us an update on that activity as well. Luke Mathers will be here, so will meteorologist Brittany Merlot, whose forecast for today notes that that storm system has passed and things are going to be quiet around here for a little bit. Her forecast for today just simply says breezy, with a few flurries up north, partly sunny everywhere else. The high today will be in the low 40s up north, the low 50s south, with a west wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and calm. That's it. Lows in the mid-20s up north, mid-30s south, with a northwest wind at 5 to 10. And again, we'll get full forecast details from her coming up in less than an hour. Same goes for your chance to win. There's only 2 days left in the Civic Media Break into Spring Text to Win contest. So get your Civic Media app ready. Get set to text in the keyword for the 7 o'clock hour, and you'll get a chance to win a nice hourly prize and then be set up for the grand prize drawing of a queen mattress set from Verlo. So again, that's coming up in less than an hour. As always, you can reach the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call or text that number. You can also, of course, use the Civic Media app, and you can put comments on Facebook or YouTube. We're on several different pages. We're on the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, and the Civic Media Facebook page where you can reach us. And, of course, you can email radio at upnorthnewswi.com as well. Temperatures around the state range from, 32 degrees in several places, Park Falls, Superior, Bayfield included, all the way down to 46 degrees down in the Racine-Kenosha area. It's 39 in La Crosse. It's 37 right now in Wausau and in Wisconsin Rapids, 43 in Green Bay. And again, more from Brittany coming up in just a bit. But the aforementioned Mr. Bach is with us as well to tell us all about his new adventures in bed. Yeah, we're getting a little spice. We're getting a little spicy that way this hour of the morning. And now let's take all the spice away. It's a CPAP machine that we're talking about here. Night number one is in the books. How was it?
Interesting. So I don't have a face mask, so it doesn't go over my whole face. It goes just, they're called nasal pillows. So just like right there, if you're watching the live stream, just got my two fingers in my nose right there.
Which just reminds me of like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Just
put the fingers in. But it's a machine doing it. Nothing it's a machine. Scary about that at all.
It's blowing air into my nose, down my throat, into my lungs, so I get a good night's sleep. It's the first time, I think, Pat, I've ever slept on my back since maybe I was in the hospital as a kid.
Yeah.
You know,
Did you do it? Did you pull it off?
It's according to my app, according to the machine, I got good sleep. So I'm used to getting up. A little old man honesty here.
Again, that's what we do here.
I usually get up quite a few times to go to the bathroom. I didn't get up once.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, am I like fully refreshed? I'm not. I'm still tired. And it says on the thing, we'll take up to so many days to like get you to a place of.
Also, do you know what business I'm in?
Yeah.
I work in broadcasting and I talk about politics. I'm never going to feel well rested.
I'm always tired, friends. Yes. But night one is in the books. There is definitely a difference. I don't know what it is yet. It's not like I'm cured. But I did tell Pat earlier, you're laying on your back. I got a thing wrapped around my head. I woke up. I don't even know what time I woke up. It was on my chin. So I don't know. I don't know if it was the dog who may have pulled it off.
The nose pillows were on your chin?
But Maybell was very curious.
Oh, I'm sure. Because I'm sure it makes like a little hum or a little whir or
it
something.
It barely
like that.
Makes a sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all you hear is the air. You don't hear the machine running.
I imagine something like Darth Vader is on your nightstand. Nope. You know?
I mean, there are different permutations of these machines. Mine is a small, it's just a small box with the tubing and the nasal pillows.
The nasal pillows.
And so it's real simple. So all you hear is the air.
Okay.
If you hear the air at all. But it's also about learning how to breathe properly. So you have to breathe in through your nose, and then you have to breathe out your mouth. Because if you close your mouth, there's no sound, and you can't let the air escape, let the carbon dioxide escape your body. So it's
just sounds dangerous.
I mean, your body will take over.
I know.
But it's just like this thing of all right, breathe in, breathe out, and learn to do it while you're sleeping. And all right, will I fall asleep? I did fall asleep. So
I can say you slept all night.
I slept all night.
That's wonderful. Good for you.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I'm probably about a month to 6 weeks behind you in this journey. So thanks for blazing the trail, as it were.
Hey,
we'll see if it works as well for me or if it's just a comedy of errors. So
it will work if you embrace it and you're curious, it will work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, a lot of people who have tried it have spoken very highly of it. So that's something that I hope to have benefit me as well. I'd like to feel much more well rested than I do, and I suppose I can't blame it all on sweeping arm gesture about the state of the world. there could be things other than that that are at play here. But all right, well, we'll see how this turns out. Our daily newsletter is out. Christina Laurie puts it together. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. She's got a story in there about it's no secret that Wisconsin, there's a lot of binge drinking that goes on here. The latest CDC data shows just how how drunk we are collectively compared to the rest of the country. You look at that list of the 50 drunkest counties in America, and there's a whole lot of Wisconsin there, and that's not necessarily something to be proud of. And so there's much more about the cost of binge drinking and more about how to get help if you've decided that your drinking is a little bit out of control and you feel like you can't get control of it yourself. You'd like some resources to learn a bit more about how to curtail it. Well, take a look at the newsletter and find out. Also, an article there about people from federal government employment. These are like bird flu researchers. These are nuclear weapons experts. People here are hearing, you're fired. And then they're hearing, well, no, actually, you're essential. You come back. But no, you're fired again. Wait, no, we've ended the lease in your building. So you're fired again. Wait, a court has said you have to be reinstated. Federal employees are just being put through the ringer right now. Plenty are finding out that they are indeed fired, and others just want out. And so our newsletter includes a link to resources to help fired employees get back on their feet. So again, sign up for the newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click subscribe up there at the top of the homepage. And then, of course, there's a weekend newsletter that comes out as well. I put that out on Sunday mornings as a wrap-up of the week's political news. And this week, I know the Supreme Court election is now in the rearview mirror, but we will have the answers to last weekend's question about whether the way that we're electing Supreme Court justices now is the right way to go forward. There are other states, in fact, more states than any other, that do it a different way. And I have to tell you, I really enjoy all the responses that come in. I mean, some just simply say, you know, A, B, C, or D. But others will put some comments on there. They're very thoughtful. We collect those. We put those in the newsletter as well. And again, you can sign up over for our regular newsletter. If you sign up for our regular newsletter, that should lead to you getting the weekend newsletter as well. Note here on YouTube from Cassandra says, one of the biggest complications we see when people are unexpectedly admitted to the hospital is that they go through alcohol withdrawal. It causes a lot of problems and can kill people. Because again, there's a right and a wrong way to curtail excessive drinking. So it's a great point, Cassandra. Thank you for bringing that up. When we come back, the Brewers have a very exciting win. I mean, break up the Brewers. It's a 2-game winning streak, folks. They are a juggernaut. Well, at least they had an exciting victory yesterday in extra innings that we will tell you about. And then we'll get into this whole new trade war that Donald Trump has started with the whole rest of the planet. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, here we go. You're like, wait, this isn't Memorial Day weekend.
It ain't.
But Memorial Day weekend is feeling very far away right now. Yeah, it's spring, but there ain't been much for spring, to be honest. And so we thought, well, look, on the history lesson today, it's Tony Orlando's birthday. Do you want to hear Tony Orlando on music all day? I do not.
No.
So for the morning today, preview of coming attractions, the summer of Yacht Rock is coming back to Up North News Radio, along with Greg Buck's stellar impression of Michael McDonald.
Oh, that's right, Pat.
It's uncanny, isn't it? I mean, it's dead on.
It's like he's here in the studio. It's
like he's right there. Thank goodness. So yeah, you get to hear Kenny Loggins. You get to hear Steely Dan. You get to hear all the alternatives to Tony Orlando.
You get to listen today to alternative music right
That's
here.
Right. Yes. Exciting game at American Family Field yesterday afternoon, including some free baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers were playing the Kansas City Royals. They were tied heading into the 10th. Kansas City scored in the top of the 10th. Thankfully, in the bottom of the 10th, Jackson Churio had an RBI double to keep the game alive. And then in the 11th, Bryce Terang dropped a perfect bunt to score Oliver Dunn from third. And in 11 innings, the Brewers beat the Royals 3-2. They needed that help because although the pitching has picked up since that disastrous series at Yankee Stadium, the Brewer bats still are not really in full mid-season form. The Brewers were 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position. 2-for-14 is not good. Pitching tonight as the Cincinnati Reds come to town will be Nestor Cortes, making his American Family Field home debut, looking to rebound after that game in Yankee Stadium where he allowed 8 runs as part of the Yankees' 20-9 route last Saturday. One hopes that Mr. Cortes, whatever malady he may have been suffering from last week, whether it was the jitters or something else, has gone away. So the Brewers are here for 4 games. Let's see, the action starts tonight. Game time is at 6:40, so coverage begins at 6:05 on Civic Media stations, including the newest Brewers affiliate up north, WBZH in Hayward, as well as WCQM in Park Falls, stations in Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, Richland Center. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more about that. So we got your game times are 6:40 tonight, 7:10 tomorrow, 6:10 on Saturday, and 1:10 on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks are off. They will be I've got an old note in there. So let me check the schedule. I want to make sure of this. It's Thursday. They are actually at Philadelphia tonight to play the 76ers. 6 o'clock is when the tips off there for the Bucks. Let's see, one more note before I get to tariffs here, and it's about school referendums. And I have not gone through them in great detail, but I did see a note from Jimmy Koska at Civic Media that of the 89 school referendums, 51 of them passed. So it's always nice to see when more than half of the school referendums are successful, but I don't know how that percentage lines up with some of the more recent elections where there had been a downward trend, you know, still more than 50%, but the percentage was coming down, which means it's still a challenge to explain to voters that these problems with needing referendums are not coming from the school district. It's coming from a lazy legislature that is increasingly doing less and less to hold up its end of the bargain in funding education for our kids. A couple of the referendums either succeeded or failed by a handful of votes. I'm telling you, when we say every vote matters, every vote matters. In Hudson, their referendum passed. It was successful. It passed by 7 votes. Your vote matters. Those votes mattered in November when a whole lot of folks decided to go with Donald Trump for another term in office. And for all of his bluster about, you know, America getting ripped off by other countries and things like that, well, here comes the follow-up. Yesterday at the Rose Garden, he announced new tariffs, massive new tariffs on goods that are imported to this country, which is supposed to force manufacturers and others to bring their factories back to the U.S., where labor costs are higher and where there's a worker shortage and where that same administration is chasing away immigrants who would be filling a lot of those manufacturing and factory and farm jobs. So there doesn't really seem to be any kind of a long-range plan in place. It's all about short-term pain in the hopes that something long-term comes out of it. Now, as we explained with a guest last week, plenty of countries and plenty of companies are simply going to wait this out. They're going to price in the tariffs. Consumers are going to see a sharp uptick in prices if they can even get the goods or services that they have become used to seeing. You know, some companies are just going to not do business in the States for a while. And you say, well, how can you avoid the United States? Let's use Wisconsin soybeans. when China went through this in Donald Trump's first term, Wisconsin farmers couldn't sell their soybeans to China. China went to Brazil. Now, since then, some of that activity has come back to U.S. farmers, but not all of it. And so what happens when China goes to Brazil the next time for its soybeans? What happens when people get a, you know, a taste for different automobiles than the kind maybe they were used to driving? And on go the repercussions. But what it means, bottom line, for the economy is not necessarily good. According to the New York Times, the average tariff rate in the U.S. is up to 12% right now. That's the highest level since World War II. And these new tariffs and the reciprocal tariffs that other countries put in place could increase that figure to 18% or more. Those are levels not seen since the 1930s, when Republicans passed something called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, which again was supposed to crack down on trade imbalances, and all it did was make the Great Depression even worse. So again, without a long-range plan of where this goes, it's hard to see how it's going to be anything except threatening a recession, just as the economy was about to hit what was called the soft landing post-COVID, a great recovery about to be royally screwed up, we fear. Joe Zepecki talks to us about Wisconsin election results right after this. You're up north. Hey, welcome back. A reminder, your chance to win in our statewide text to win contest, break into spring, is coming up in about a half hour. So stick around for that. But now it's time for Joe Zepecki on this Thursday morning. Sleep deprived as we always are in election weeks. And so a little bit punchy, and it just makes our analysis that much more colorful, doesn't it, Joe? How are you?
It does. And I got to tell you, the sweet, sweet taste of victory is just as nice on Thursday morning as it was on Wednesday.
Amen to that. Yep. So any truth to the rumor that Ben Wickler is going to make an offer to Elon Musk and have him move to Wisconsin and campaign for 26 for the governor cycle when it's up?
You know, Elon appears to be getting voted off the island in Washington, D.C.
Yes, yeah.
President Trump yesterday, a strategic leak, I believe it's known in the business, saying that Elon Musk will be soon exiting government service. And I think that's good for the American people. But I also don't think that showing Elon the door is going to unwind the catastrophic wreckage that he will have left in his wake. And I don't think it's going to change the political calculus, despite the fact that one of the things we learned this week is Elon Musk's millions can't save Republicans when they are kowtowing to a tyrant, despot, insert your adjective here, administration and president who is acting un-American. And that's the point. I don't care if he's a tyrant or a despot or an authoritarian. Donald Trump is acting in ways that are fundamentally un-American. And if we take anything away from this week, it should be that the role of Democrats, the role of a loyal opposition party, of a minority party, is to take the fight to the White House every single day, on every single issue, in every single medium, whether it's Cory Booker from the well of the Senate, whether it's Judge Susan Crawford on the campaign trail, whether it is all of us in our own way, eyes on the prize, political gravity still applies. And when an administration is doing things that are so unpopular, bad for the economy, bad for people, there will be a political price to pay for that. And hopefully, before the political price can be extracted, if nothing else, Tuesday night's results, both in Florida and Wisconsin, give just a few Republicans a little bit of backbone and a little bit of spine to stand up to this administration and put up the stop sign when it comes to things like cutting Medicaid.
Hey, we saw this week 9 Republicans, you know, go against Speaker Mike Johnson, and Johnson had to throw a tantrum and you know, shut down business on the House floor for the rest of the week because these 9 Republicans stood up to him and said, we would actually like better rules for, you know, our members who are on maternity leave. So, I mean, some of those cracks appear to be out there already.
Yeah, and I think in the Senate, Republicans are more likely to do the right thing than this band of MAGA minions, the MAGA majority in Congress. But, you know, watch this space, as they say.
Oh, they may go after the Republicans in the Senate, maybe going after the Trump tariffs in the not too distant future. It's true. Can I jump ahead a year? Can I get ahead of myself? Because I wasn't going to, you know, I was going to give people a break and say, now we're a year away from the next Supreme Court race. And then Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley had to open her mouth. And boy, and I mean, true to form. The people that do not know Rebecca Bradley are really going to get to know her over the next 12 months, assuming she is going to run for another term. With quotes like, I think the way Judge Crawford ran her race was disgusting, and I'm not looking forward to working with her. I mean, that is such a, I'd love to say it's a lack of self-awareness, but it's not. She's fully aware of what she's doing. It's a degree of deflection that is laughable. I mean, pot kettle black is all you ever say after you hear Rebecca Bradley say anything. But I say all that, Joe, because if she does decide to run, it'll be a formidable race.
Yes, and it is an important race. People have kind of lost this in the sauce, as they say. Mm-hmm. The progressive majority on the court is now locked in through the spring of 2028. What that means is progressives need to flip one more before then, so in either 26, 27, or 28, to guarantee that a pro-democracy majority makes up the Wisconsin Supreme Court ahead of the 2028 presidential election. And that's putting a lot of runway and track in front of us. But folks, we have Donald Trump saying he's not joking about running for a third term. That is blatantly unconstitutional, is blatantly un-American. And until we see Republicans and conservatives willing to stand up and tell him no and to stop him, we need to bolster our defenses to act as a bulwark for our democracy. And one of the ways we can do that is by getting one more seat on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And our first shot at it is next year. Let me just also add this. I don't know Judge Bradley. I certainly disagree with her worldview, but even I was surprised by how classless her conduct was last night. Judge Brad Schimel, whatever you want to say about him, he did it right. He saw that he had lost. He called and conceded, and I have not seen a single report today that he is calling hijinks or engaging in conspiracy mongering. Nope. And we should applaud that every single time it happens, because it is not the standard operating procedure for Republican politicians anymore. So thank you, Brad Schimel, for conducting yourself with class last night. And Justice Bradley, we can do better than that.
I would like to say that, but there's nothing in her record that indicates that she will, from her homophobic writings when she was at Marquette to comparing abortion to slavery and the Holocaust. Feminists are, quote, angry, militant, man-hating lesbians who abhor the traditional family. And, you know, the writings and her opinions, especially since they've now become dissents, are, I mean, they always seem like she's auditioning for a basic cable talk show on Newsmax or something else, which is pretty big talk for somebody who got all three of her gigs by being appointed by Scott Walker to the Milwaukee Circuit Court, to the Court of Appeals, and into the state Supreme Court. Scott Walker put her on each of those positions. She did run for a term, and that term is going to expire next year. But I say all this so that people know what we're facing next year, and that there'd better not be, from the progressive side, any kind of a, you know, shrinking violet kumbaya type candidate. I know people don't like the negativity and all that, but if you know anything about Justice Rebecca Bradley, you better have somebody who can go toe to toe with bare knuckle politics and get started early, because she certainly has.
We need a scrapper.
Yes, we do. The margin of victory then for Susan Crawford, again, surprised some people. But then you look at the numbers, 55-44, and you see that those are the exact same margins as, you know, Rebecca Dallet, and then Jill Karofsky, and then Janet Protasiewicz. What does that say to you that in four of the last five Supreme Court elections, the voters have chosen the progressive option with roughly 55% of the vote?
Well, I think there's other important numbers and context to keep in mind, beginning with 2 years ago, that was the most expensive judicial race in American history. Until yesterday, because now that's the most expensive judicial race in American history. And 2 years ago was the most voters in a spring judicial race in Wisconsin history, 1.8 million. Until yesterday.
Blew that away.
Or 2 days ago, excuse me, when, you know, 2.2, 2.3. And so we talk a lot in my line of work about the makeup of the electorate. And there's no question that spring electorates are more favorable for progressives. But I don't think we can undersell or short the degree to which Susan Crawford ran a really good race. And she did it by being true to herself, by, you know, conducting herself honorably, and being able to answer pretty straightforward questions that Brad Schimmel couldn't. Like, was there a time when the people who are supporting you would have been disappointed in a ruling you made? And she had an example. There have been times when she has not been a party-line Democratic judge, which is how it should be. Brad Schimmel couldn't name one. And I do hope that one of the things we take away from this is we want justice to be impartial and blind. That is more important than ever in an era where due process is under attack from the Trump administration, where they are threatening, if not outright, just refusing to obey rulings from judges, that it is important that we have progressive-minded candidates who are not afraid to go where the rule of law needs to. And they are not wearing a blue robe or a red robe. It's a black robe. And I think Susan Crawford embodied that. I think she'll make a terrific justice. And that kind of mold, a Dalit, Karofsky, you know, Protasiewicz, Crawford within that, none of those four remarkable women are alike. They're all unique, and all of them were able to get the job done. And I think that gives us quite a few kind of models to look at when we think about who should be next up into the breach.
Let me engage in a little self-promotion for a moment to say that every Sunday morning, we have a Wisconsin Politics edition of our newsletter that comes out. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. And as I work on this coming weekend's edition, I look back at last weekend's, where I asked folks, should we keep doing nonpartisan elections, or should we just drop any pretense, make them partisan elections, have the governor appoint a justice, have the legislature appoint a justice, have a nominating commission? Having gone through what we just went through, would you, if you were given the magic wand, would you change to one of those other models, or do you feel like this is the right one for our state?
I would change to one of those models.
Yes.
Yes is my answer. No, listen, the way we do this is crazy, folks. And it's okay to tinker with our system of government. Mm-hmm. And we want democracy to be representative. And if there was ever a time to think through all of the ways in which our democracy works and the ways in which it doesn't, we are living through one of them right now. You know, we hear about in school and learn about the second founding after the Civil War. I think there's a real easy case to make that we are due for a third founding. And if we can figure out how to do it without devolving into civil war, all the better for everyone inhabiting this great country today, for everyone around the world who aspires to be an American or depends on the goodwill and global leadership of the United States of America. But we've got improvements to make to our democracy, to our economy. It's not working for people. And if we keep that at the front of our mind and we can figure out how to get back to some normalcy, like, we'll be okay. It's, to me, sometimes people describe it as the difference of working on the government as opposed to working in the government. We need to do both. We need our government to work better. We need to get some of the money out of it. We need to, you know, do things like ban stock trading tomorrow among members of Congress. We need to fight corruption, not excuse it like the Trump DOJ is doing. And we need to do work in the government, which is to say, make the economic playing field more fair, change the rules of the road so that big corporations are not allowed to squeeze every nickel they can out of we the people while giving us nothing. while being allowed to just be like, yeah, actually, we're a giant corporation who gives a $40 million bonus to our CEO every year. But if you want to work here, you can't get more than 29 hours a week, or we're going to have to pay you healthcare. So you're going to have to hold down two 29-hour a week jobs. That's BS. It's baloney. And we've got to find a way to stop it. That's how you make the system work better for people. We can do two things at once. We are the United States of America. We can do big things. But first, we have to win back Congress. Then we have to excise Donald Trump to the dustbin of history. And if we do that, we are capable of doing very, very big things.
Last question is about the race that got far less attention, but was still an important one for Wisconsin. Jill Underle holding off a challenge by Brittany Kinzer. She'll get another four-year term at the Department of Public Instruction. Any thoughts on that campaign and its outcome?
One of my losers in the elections this week, down ballot debates. The fact that Jill Underle really didn't do a debate with Kinzer. It was a very low profile race. I'm glad that we have a public schools champion returning as DPI superintendent, but I would like to see more engagement with the public going forward. But, we'll take the W. Better to win than lose.
That's right. Despite the rough start for the Brewers, the season is underway. How long until you get that first game at American Family Field?
April 16th.
Oh, you already have a date. Good for you. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much as always. You have a restful weekend. I will try to do the same, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother.
Today's history lesson is next. You're up north. I love you, baby, with all my might. Come on home and squeeze me tight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Would anybody remember this song anymore if it hadn't been for Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No, in fact, I don't know at which age I would have heard it eventually.
I don't know either. It was originally composed by Burt Kampfert. It was an instrumental in the beginning of a song that later was given German lyrics. And then Wayne Newton released the version in 1963 when he was 21 years old. And it was a hit back then. Because there were no Beatles yet.
Yeah. Right. We've got this little girl-sounding boy here, so he's singing a German song. Boy, America was weird.
Yep. On this day in 1860, the first successful Pony Express run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California. Happy birthday, as we mentioned earlier. We celebrate his birthday. We're glad he's alive and well. We just didn't want to play his bumper music all day long. Tony Orlando is 81 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
It turns out this was an accidental hit. He actually did have a song on the charts when he was a teenager back in 1961, a song called Bless You. But fast forward to 1970, and he was just behind the scenes working in music publishing. He gets a phone call that the original singer of this song, Candida, hadn't worked out, and would he come in and sing it? And it turned into a hit, and so he formed Tony Orlando and Dawn, and he's 81 years old today. Happy birthday to Tony Orlando. Jane Goodall is 91 years old today. I guess hanging around with chimps is good for a long life if they don't eat your face.
I mean, she's a very, very not good tasting face.
That must be it. Alec Baldwin is 67 years old today. Always kind of a mixed bag when you're talking about him.
I will say this, folks. Happy birthday to Alec Baldwin. I am officially over and through with Alec Baldwin. So, and that will not change his life whatsoever.
No, it will not. Happy birthday to Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy is 64 years old today. Still does the comedy. The records, not so much. He did one of them. Here it is.
This video.
Look, every time I hear, Starships, we built this city is one of the worst songs of all time. I come back with this. I'm like, do you remember Eddie Murphy had a hit?
This was the video for this song was the proof that cocaine is not just a party drug. It causes problems.
It does, man. On this day in 1995, the Real Audio player was introduced. Does anybody remember Real Audio anymore?
Yeah, my update's still loading.
It allowed users to stream audio over the internet for the first time. And yes, I remember our Real Audio player was everywhere. The number, let's see, I mentioned Eddie Murphy. He was 64, so he was born this day in 1961. By coincidence, I've got the number one song from this day in 1961. It was by the Marcells.
Wherever Paul McCartney might be right now, Mr. Ringo, both sirs, I just want to say thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for saving us from a world of this.
Yes. Let's see. That was 1961. Let's fast forward to 1971, when the number one song was by The Temptations.
There we go.
That works.
Yes, it does.
On this day in 2000, in the case of United States versus Microsoft, Microsoft was ruled to have violated antitrust laws by keeping, quote, an oppressive thumb on its competitors. Again, proof between Microsoft, AT&T, Standard Oil, and others, you can break up corporate monopolies.
Yes, you can.
And it is way past time to do it again.
Yeah.
And on this day in 2010, Apple released the first generation of the iPad, which at the time I thought was the coolest thing ever.
I thought it was so dumb.
And now I see it used every so often. Like we were at a restaurant the other day, you know, wait staff is using, you know, tablets are everywhere and tablets are great.
Yeah.
It just turns out I don't actually have a use for them. You know,
I have one. It's locked. I could use it if I could, you know, open it up, but I can't. So I'm like, whatever. I don't know. I have a Newton though. I have an Apple Newton. Deal with that, people.
Apple Newton. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else. Oh, on the calendar today, it's National Burrito Day.
I'm celebrating later.
Yes. National Chocolate Mousse Day, which again, always leads whenever you got two foods with a day, you know, you end up conflating them and you think of a chocolate mousse burrito and it's just, I don't know, it doesn't work.
Or a moose eating a chocolate burrito.
This is Independent Artist Day. And this is National Film Score Day. Which, again, you have to acknowledge, you know, film scores can be very good, and they really help make a movie come to life.
Oh, yeah.
Others not so much.
No.
So congrats to everybody who's got a national day today.
Congratulations to those good film scores. I will call one out specifically.
Yes.
Thomas Newman. He's like the fifth cousin. Thomas Newman is related to Randy Newman, and the Newman family is a huge film, like music family, but Thomas Newman did things like American Beauty, The Road to Perdition, very distinct, beautiful music he composes.
Well, there you go. See, I mean, maybe saying congratulations was a dumb thing, but you know, we salute them for the work they do. Hey, coming up, our Break into Spring Text to Win contest is on the way. We will then be getting the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We've got Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Advocates coming up at 7:10. And then our legislative report with State Senator Mark Spreitzer. That's coming up at 7:30. And then, as all that wasn't enough, Luke Mathers, the very handsome and capable Mr. Mathers, will be here as well. Oh, and this just in, Derek Van Orden has announced he's going to be running again next year for a third term in Congress. We'll talk a bit about that and the rest of the day's news ahead on Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.